my weight training is paying off because hoisting that table over is a whole lot easier than it was just a year ago. Holy cow. It's the little things, you know. In the church that sent Lisa and I out to seminary, we had some very interesting, unique people, like all churches, you know. And yes, and at some point I can imagine that all of you are going to qualify as unique people that I'm going to talk about with other folks, so it's all right. I'm an equal opportunity type of preacher. So anyway, we had this one woman in particular. I think I could not for the life of me remember her name exactly. I can tell you that she worked for a local attorney, but I can't tell you her name. I think though her name was Glennis. I was asking Lisa and she couldn't remember either. But she was the kind of person, and maybe you've run across people like this, as soon as she started talking about God, her voice would shake and she'd start to get teary. Have you ever had one of those? I learned since I've been in the Church of God that they're often called holy weepers, right? They just sense the Spirit of God and they start crying just a little bit. And it's an interesting way to recognize that, you know, God might be present. And I was thinking about that congregation a little bit, and we had spent a number of years there. And come to think of it, there was a large number of people who were what I would call emotional during services. And they would just, you know, just feel the presence of God, and there'd be, you know, typically you get a little swaying going on, and you get, but these folks were a little bit more than that. And there were times where Lisa and I, we would feel a little bit out of place almost, because, you know, what they were feeling, we weren't feeling. It's like, what are they? Is there something in the coffee that we're not drinking, or, you know, what's going on? And we weren't necessarily emotional like that. And I think from time to time, we actually wondered if we were missing out on something. Have you ever kind of experienced that a little bit? In our series, we're learning how God communicates to his people. I find this endlessly fascinating because these are things that I just didn't know, and we certainly didn't cover them in seminary. But there's these common channels that God seems to communicate through. To some people, they hear God. God interrupts them with thoughts and with words and pictures, and then there are other people who see. They have visions and they have dreams, some bizarre dreams. We talked about them last week. Today we're talking about people who feel, that are kind of emotional, and then next week we're going to talk about people who just know. And each person, each one of you can receive communication from God in all four of those channels, but there typically is one that's like your go-to. It's like your primary. It's like God understands the way he might have wired you, and so he speaks to you on that level. Our friend Glennis and many in that church were feelers. They just felt the presence of the Lord. They could. Now from time to time, you know, we've had experiences here where you could feel something, that there was like a presence, there was a heaviness, remember one person said there was kind of a blanket over the whole thing. There's that kind of a feeling that isn't necessarily emotion, but you just get the sense that, you know, God is kind of in the room. Feelers are on a whole different level. And as the name suggests, God speaks to them through emotions, often very intense emotions. And why not? Because they're connected to and reflect the heart of God. That's the connection point. He speaks through his heart to the hearts of those who tend to feel those kinds of emotions. Now, I gotta hit the pause button here because I saw something the other day that really pinged my radar. I want to make a quick note about this. Because it seems in the church, there's like this bias against certain emotions. Have you noticed this? Certain emotions we don't like, particularly anger, fear, shame, you know, those. And why not? I mean, nobody wants to experience that stuff because it's painful. It's uncomfortable. We don't like those. But I was listening to, it was a Christian video podcast, something I'd never heard of these guys before, but they were talking about fear and specifically living without fear. And it came across, at least in the opening part of the video, that they were suggesting that fear was not godly. And I thought, I mean, I get it. I understand that. Perfect love drives out fear, right? I mean, we all know this one. And we're supposed to fear God only. And to be fair, they were talking about fear of man, of fear of humanity. But there's a problem here. And this is where I think we ought to spend some time being thoughtful about this. Because God gave us emotions. There's a reason why you have fear in your repertoire of feelings. Right? So, now, some of them might be a little irrational, right? Fear of elevators might be considered irrational, right? Fear of snakes, that is not irrational at all. I have a friend, his name is Big Brian, and Big Brian, it makes me look small. And yet, when he sees a spider, screams like a little girl. I mean, the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life was I was at a movie with Big Brian, and an advertisement, a preview came on for a movie back years ago called Eight-Legged Freaks. I have never seen a man that large try to get down between the seats in the theater to get away from what he was seeing on the... Just saying. Fear is something that we all have, largely because God gives us emotions. Emotions are signals to us in order to assist us interpreting what's going on in front of us, how life is beginning to unfold. And they're perfectly normal, and it's something that, I'm sorry, God's never going to really take away. So this idea of living completely without fear is probably not going to be the case, because it's a really good idea to not get so close to the edge of the Grand Canyon. I know some of you want to do that. I get it. But like one of the rangers told us, you got to take your height and make sure that you're back that far from the rim so that when you fall, you don't go over the edge. Okay? Fair enough. But that's a good fear to have because, you know, God doesn't necessarily want you to die being stupid or whatever. Just saying, okay? So we have to distinguish some things here, and I think this is important. Emotions are a natural thing that God puts inside of us. Now, what we do with those emotions, that becomes the point of discipleship. That becomes the point of lordship and just saying, okay, what am I going to do with the emotions that I might be experiencing? Because frankly, instead of God taking those emotions away and me living like Spock and not Kirk, bonus points for those of you who understand that reference, okay? I would rather have my emotions in such a way where I allow Holy Spirit to help me manage and interpret those things. Like I said, it becomes another point of discipleship. It's another place where I can go to God and say, I'm feeling this way. Lord, what do I do with this? What's in your interest? What's in my best interest? What's in the kingdom's interest here based on what I'm feeling? So I want to be really careful when we talk about emotions that it's not that they're good or bad. There's just emotions. And what you do with them can be holy or unholy. Does this make sense? Okay, good. You're not in your head. I don't even have to ask you if you're awake, right? Coffee must be good this morning. So there we go. So our feelings are natural, and even the so-called negative ones. And we find this throughout the text. I mean, John chapter 11, Jesus wept. He experienced that kind of sadness, right? I mean, even Jesus. And Paul warns us to not grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4. And later he writes in 2 Corinthians, godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret. And I think this is a really important point because, again, even grief that we experience, that level of sadness, is a point of discipleship because it leads us into a particular place of repentance and salvation. The early believers in Jerusalem, when they met together, they experienced something. I want to read this to you because I think this is actually quite fascinating. It's in Acts chapter 2. We've read this many times, and I'm sure that you've heard it. Let me just read this this little section here. After Peter gives his famous sermon in Acts chapter 2, it says that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, now this is great, but there's a word in here that's easy to gloss over, and it's actually a short word. It's that everyone was filled with awe. The word here in Greek is phobos. That's where we get the word phobia. Fear. There is a holy sense of fear going on because of what God is doing among these people. Now, is this the kind of fear I want to live without? Not a chance. I don't want that type of fear to be taken from me. I want to have a fear of the Lord because that's a healthy thing. Because in, Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Yeah. And it's not fear for what God's going to do to you, but it's fear to live life without God. No, thank you. Been down that road probably more times than I care to admit. I don't want to do that again. So fear of the Lord is a good thing. So do I want to live without fear? Not that kind of fear, clearly. So we have to be very careful with that. And then finally, you might remember when Mary met her cousin Elizabeth. Read this at Christmas time. Mary entered the house of Elizabeth and greeted her. At the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and then blessed Mary. It's in Luke chapter 1 if you're interested. And so there's this emotional surge that happens within Elizabeth, the sound of Mary's voice. So emotions are natural, and God communicates through them and through those who feel them. And I think there are some people who are just more receptive to that than others. And so I want to talk a little bit about feelers, about people who receive communication God through their emotions. Because frankly, I'm going to say this kind of up front. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But sometimes I think those folks are really easy to dismiss. Because, well, you know how they get. You know what I mean? There's kind of this emotional component to it, and they're really easy to kind of set aside because sometimes the intensity of their emotions makes us uncomfortable. It happens. Feelers can often detect positive or negative atmospheres. It's a really interesting thing. And many times it's from a young age, and they can sense the presence of God with their emotions. And like I said, oftentimes they weep and they don't understand why. And most of them don't like it. They don't enjoy that part of it. So my daughter Elizabeth has some tendencies in this particular direction. We were in Flagstaff, Arizona a couple years ago. And there are parts of Arizona that are known for, I would say, there's a large New Age community. And New Age is this kind of catch-all term that we use for multiple religions. They kind of believe in all sorts of stuff. Dabbles in a little bit of witchcraft, I'm going to be honest. And there's some very strange sorts of spiritual practices that go along with that. And we were walking downtown in Flagstaff, and there was a store that sold crystals and various New Age paraphernalia. Oftentimes you'll see things like Ouija boards and tarot cards and all this kind of stuff that goes along with that. As we were walking past, there was a family in front of us. They're like, oh, let's go in here. And they opened the doors, and it about knocked Libby onto the sidewalk. Now, I felt it too, but not like she did. And her description was like, wow, that's a bad vibe, her term. People who experience emotional communication from the Father will often detect those kinds of things, highly sensitive to it. And we've learned as a family just to pay attention to that. It's not, you know, some weirdness related to our daughter. No, no, she's understanding some things that the rest of us don't. She has a receptivity to that that we try to pay attention to, because I don't know about you, I don't want to hang around with bad vibes. it's not something I want to do. So there's this energy or this feeling, and it just smacked her. And I felt a little weird, but not like she did. It was very curious. Feelers seem connected to the heart of God, and they're sensitive to the emotions of those around them. And sometimes they're called empaths, or they're considered empathic. They just have this ability to be able to kind of dial in different ways. One of the fun things, having an empath in the house, is that she will describe to us what it's like when we experience certain emotions like anger. When mom gets angry, there's a certain feeling attached to it. And I said, what is it? Because I had to ask. Oh, mom's like a spring. She gets wound up, and you never know when it's going to snap, kind of thing. It's like, oh, all right. What am I like? I wanted to know. She goes, oh, you flare and then you're fine. Oh, okay, good to know, right? So she has these descriptions for people when they get angry. She has one friend who's like a thunderstorm. She's just like, it just crackles with that kind of energy. And it's really interesting to listen to her, because she's not wrong. That's the amazing thing. When you hear her make the description, you're like, oh, I totally see that. You know, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'm not gonna say that to Lisa. Oh wait, she's here. So, okay. But the point is that there's this association of emotional energy that they're just sensitive to, and they're able to read it, they're able to put words on it in ways that the rest of us can't. It's really cool to kind of experience that. And by the way, I want to say this, if you are a feeler and you have those intense emotions, you're not broken. There's not something wrong with you. You've just got some strong sensitivity to it. You're able to dial into those channels stronger than the people around you, and part of the great challenge for feelers is to recognize what it is and then to learn how to handle that. In the same way that somebody who sees visions doesn't get freaked out by the visions, but rather goes to the Father and say, what do you want me to do with that vision? Feeler does the same thing. I'm feeling these emotions. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because obviously you are telling me this in this way for a particular reason, and I want to know how it is that I can serve you and serve the kingdom because I have this sensitivity. And so having an empath or empathic ability, this results in two important features of feelers. Often they catch nuances and textures in the room that other people don't. I was reading one author who, her sister happens to be a feeler, and she herself is not, but she will often go on speaking engagements, bring her sister along, and ask her sister, what's the room feel like? It's a huge help when you're communicating with people. It's just to have an idea of, okay, what's going on in the room that I might not necessarily be recognizing right away. Wish there were certain politicians who did that. Secondly, the other feature of this is often empaths have the right words from God to tell others, and it's usually very encouraging. Feelers are often incredibly encouraging individuals. They just have the sense about them where they want to speak light and joy into others because they understand that emotion better than most people do. They just have a sense about it and what people need because they can read the nuances, they can read the emotions, they can feel what's on the Father's heart, and they can speak directly into yours. Common feature for feelers. Many feelers have a special call or assignment to pray for others. And of course, why wouldn't they? They have a connection to the heart of God. Of course they can pray for others. And here's a pro tip. If you suspect that you're a feeler, ask God for his feelings about a person and pray that. Does that make sense? So if you're feeling something and you've got on your heart to pray for someone else, oh God, how do you feel about that person? And God will communicate that to you as a feeler. You will experience that intense emotion, and then that's something that you can pray for them about. It's communication. God is communicating to you as a feeler so that you can fulfill your divine assignment, whatever he's assigned you to do. I think that's kind of a cool thing. Now here's the problem. Or cautions, I should call them, because feelers are emotional and can be rather exuberant from time to time. It's easy to undervalue their contribution. And really, if you're not a feeler, you need to dial into those feelers from time to time because they're going to give you some details that you might not otherwise have. Tell you about the atmosphere and what's going on. Don't undervalue what they're communicating. The other caution is that feelers can become overwhelmed by emotions. Surprise, surprise. To the point where they can almost become burdened by those emotions. They just feel so intensely that it's really easy to be overwhelmed and burdened by them. They're reading the room. They're trying to understand the Father's heart, and that just could be a lot for them. They're not even sure what to do with it all. And so feelers who want to be mature, they learn how to ask God a couple of questions. First of all, is what they're feeling from God? Lord, what's the source of my emotion right now? Is it something going on in my life, or is this something that you're trying to communicate with me? I'm feeling some things here. Lord, is this from you, or is this from another source? And then secondly, I think, this is really important, is it for you or for someone else? Am I experiencing this emotion? Are you communicating something to me so that I can communicate it to someone else, or are you trying to tell me something? So not only are you interested in the origin or the source of the emotion, but the purpose of it. Who's it directed at? Is this directed at me personally, or is this directed for someone else? And as you begin to grow in your understanding of how God communicates to you, then you can actually have a sense of what he wants you to do with it. Now, all of this can be rather tricky because empaths, it's really easy for them to pick up someone else's emotion. I was reading a story about a particular woman who was in a preaching role, or a teaching role, I should say, at a church. And she's happily married, has four kids, and was feeling some romantic emotions that she'd not experienced before. Wasn't sure what to do with them. It was really bothering her. And she was traveling away from her family. She showed up at the venue that she was supposed to teach at. There were other members of of her team that were there. And one of the other team members, a male, mentioned that he had had some romantic feelings that he wasn't sure what was coming from. All he knew is that they aren't mine. Now, I thought this was a really interesting story because it speaks to this. What am I feeling? What's the source of it? That's coming from somewhere else. And secondly, does it belong to me? No, it doesn't. And I think this is a really important thing for those of you who feel, is to understand that not all the feelings that you're having, all the emotions that you're having are from God, nor are they always for you. Does this make sense? I think that's just good advice for everybody. Because sometimes, have you ever woken up in the morning and you're like, I'm in a really bad mood? That first cup of coffee and you're like, this isn't helping. Sometimes feelings just happen for whatever reason, but it's a good practice because you can receive communication from God in any four of the channels. Emotions are one of them. So one of the things you can ask is, what am I actually feeling? Lord, is this from you and is this for me? And help, let Holy Spirit help you navigate through some of that. Is this making sense? Feelings are one of these, emotions are these, one of these things that we all know they exist, but we're not really sure what to do with them. And again, this is another opportunity for God to speak to you and for you to work on your discipleship. And so really, when you're picking up someone else's emotion, the thing is that you constantly test that emotion and ask Holy Spirit about them. You want to make sure you're in that kind of a dialogue. So emotions are powerful, and we need feelers within the body. We need them to help us understand the texture of what's going on. If you notice that the first two communication channels, both hearers and seers, will often get big picture, but not a whole lot of detail. It's interesting that feelers and knowers often get some of the detail. And isn't that kind of what God has in mind when he talks about the body? He wants us all kind of working together. He's rarely gives one person the whole picture. He gives a part here and a part there. And I think there's this part of God who's like, okay, let's see what they're going to do. Let's see if they get this together. You know, he's nudging one of the angels or something. I don't know how that works up there. But the point is that he gives it to the body in hopes that the body would begin to work together and they can see what it's like to be the body that he had in mind, to be that kind of church. We need feelers in the body. And if you're not a feeler, here's the thing, is you do not have to experience the same emotions that they do. Because a feeler will come up to you and they're like, can't you just feel the love of Jesus in the room? And you're like, no, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. That's okay. You don't have to feel the way they do. In fact, you can encourage them and just say, not quite like you are, but I'm glad that you're experiencing that. Tell me what you're feeling. And they'll give you the sense of the goodness of God or whatever it happens to be in that moment. But now it begins a dialogue between the two of you. And the body becomes part of the body as you help them process the things that they're feeling. Because let's be honest, if someone came to you and said, I had the weirdest dream last night, the first thing you do is like, oh yeah, really? Tell me, what's that all about? Because you want to see how crazy they are. That's really the reason why you ask, right? Because then you're going to ask them what they had for dinner, you know, those kinds of things. It's the same thing with feelers. Remember, this is God communicating to them. And so consequently, one of the things that we want to do is we want to help them process that. So if somebody has a dream, you're like, well, tell me about the dream. And they'll tell you about the dream. Oh, can't you just feel it? Well, no, I don't feel that way. But tell me, what is it that you're feeling? Do you see? We're helping them process those things. The same thing is true when a hearer actually receives some type of communication. Well, I think this might be from God. Really? Tell me what it was. What was the word? And then we're the body together, and we're doing the thing that God wants us to do, to be in community with one another, like real community, not just like showing up together, but actually having those kinds of conversations and allowing God to flow through all of them. And so we pay a close attention to the feelers because they have those details and the insight that others don't. And under all the surface stuff, they can be extraordinarily helpful and encouraging. That's the other part of this. They might be feeling that just that love from Jesus and you're not feeling it, but they may have a word or a phrase or something that they say to you and that love of Jesus is communicated right to your heart. Maybe it's something you needed to hear that day. We often, if you haven't noticed this, we often communicate in ways that we like to be communicated to. So remember the love languages? This was a big deal a while back. There's like words of encouragement, physical touch, acts of service, gifts. There's another one I'm forgetting, but there's like five of them. But the point is that we often will give love in the way that we like to receive it. I notice for a lot of little kids, their first love language is gifts, because they tend to give you gifts, right? And some of the gifts you're like, I'm not sure why this is a gift, but okay, thanks, you know, kind of a thing. But what they're telling you is, no, that's the way I like to receive love. You know? If a person is encouraging with words all the time, and it's probably the reason that it probably is the way they like to receive. They like words of encouragement. Does this make sense? So consequently, we will communicate to others the way God is communicating to us. Oh, I feel the love of Jesus in the room today. I'm not feeling that. That's okay, because as you have that conversation, as you continue that discussion, God will communicate to you through them in the same way as the seer, as the hearer, and as the knower. So we have to open our eyes, open our ears, open our perception of those things. So if you think you're a feeler, a couple of questions. Do you often inexplicably experience intense emotions yourself, especially during worship? Not always, but especially in worship. Do you have an overwhelming desire to encourage someone's heart? Or at least be a positive influence on someone? Good chance you're a feeler. Sometimes you feel more than others do and wonder what's wrong with you or what's wrong with them, right? Because sometimes feelers can be that way. I can't believe you can't feel this. This is so strong in the air. Like you're off. Like, what's wrong with y'all? You know, kind of a thing. Feelers will have those intense emotions, and they'll wonder if they're the only ones or if there's something wrong with the people in the room. If you're a feeler, that's not unusual. But instead of just thinking of yourself as, well, I just have intense emotions, to say, no, this is God trying to communicate to me. This is the Lord of hosts wanting to have a conversation. He's just using this part of me and my personality, how he made me, in order for us to have this kind of a discussion. And it's going to be very different than what most of us experience. That's the way it's supposed to be. And how cool is that? To be able to have God speak to you in your language. God, I want to pause and pray for the feelers in the room. I just am so grateful for them. And I know in many ways that a lot of them have felt a little out of place, and sometimes the rest of us feel a little out of place around them. But this is you communicating to this group of people, and you have things to say, and you have reasons to say them. And we dare not as a body overlook that, dismiss that, discount that, because we need that level of communication. We need to have our hearts encouraged. We need to have the emotions that we're all feeling acknowledged. We need them to help us understand you. So God, I just want to pray for feelers in the room, that they would lean into that, press into that special connection they have to your heart, and that you would communicate to them on that level in such a way that it wouldn't just be overwhelming, but it would be extraordinarily encouraging and wonderful for them. That it would it would inspire them to meet with you more, to experience more of what you have to say to them. And for the rest of us, Lord, help us to pay attention to the feelers, to not be put off, to not be dismissive, but just understand that it's one other part of the body, this magnificent body of Christ, that we get to be a part of too. So as we go about our day today, Lord, I continue to ask you to communicate to us. Communicate to us the things that we need to hear most from you. Help us to remember who we are in you and live into that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.